Welcome back to Reality Checks with Con and Dex. I'm what happens when you give your inner child everything it wants. Magdex the Insufferable.
And I'm Conrad Wisely, the truth prize at the bottom of your box of lies. If you're hearing us for the first time today, that's because we did something a little stupid.
If by stupid you mean brilliant.
We have come at last.
We traded our auxiliary thrusters for an industrial signal booster. So there's a good chance if you're tuning in to 197.4 looking for the scores to the big game in Nod, you're getting a reality check instead. It's a bit high profile. I'm nervous.
You got nothing to worry about. You're gonna be hilarious.
This isn't a comedy show, Dex. This is a place for hard-hitting journalism where we expose the true horrors of the void. And I'm not talking about the things in the rifts, neither.
Like I said, hilarious. Plus, the mainlanders can't ignore us now.
What do you mean?
Come on, Con. Until now, we've been the private delight of merchant lanes and back ether shitholes. No one's investigating a rogue signal out of the buoy at Pappy's Crag. But now we're doing real crime.
I mean, it's no big deal, right? Just a couple of goofballs doodling their dials?
Con, radio piracy in the central cluster is punishable by 20 years of hard time. And that's if you're lucky. In Nod space, tampering with official signals will get you thrown in the oubliette.
Oh boy, the flop sweat's really making it hard to think. What's an oubliette?
That comes from some ancient dead language. Specifically, the word for forgotten. They put you in a hole and feed you garbage and rainwater. If they can be bothered to remember.
Okay, sure. How long's the sentence?
You know when old fogies start talking and they forget they started one sentence, so they start another. Then they forget who they're talking to. So they just start rambling until you walk away. But they just keep talking anyway and expect replies. Or they get that kind of elderly mad, which isn't scary or anything, but it makes you feel that kind of weird tickle in your bladder.
You mean guilty?
Exactly. And that's what we are. I am so ready to be forgotten in a hole.
Hey, folks, sorry for interrupting your game scores. If there's any shadow governments listening, you know, we're sorry for disturbing your precious signal, you know?
Hey, don't you back down now. I can practically taste the lichen we'll have to suck off the poop-smeared walls for sustenance. You could stand the shit a few LBs yourself, buddy.
Shut it down.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's Journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's Journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
The heat of battle fades, but the sounds continue. Several diarrhea tear strips of flesh from the bodies of still living men. There are numerous incapacitated, heavily wounded, some screaming, poachers.
Oh, if you ask me, they're getting exactly what they deserve.
Ah! If I ever get my hands on that gap-toothed booty pincher, why I'll...
Booty pincher.
Wait, let her finish. What will you do to her?
Oh, I'll kill all her. Ugh, nobody pinches my booty.
I'd like to see Lita try to haul anything, let alone a large hippo woman.
I heard kill all of her.
That can be extrapolated from what was said. Yes. These poachers here are already done fucked
what?
By... Wait your fucking turn. These poachers here already fucked with the birds, and the birds are fucking back, which is exactly what they deserve.
Oh,
take those that are still sort of living and not pecked by birds, throw them in the cage and lock it up.
My eyes!
Look, I have a distaste for poaching as much as anybody, but I think maybe that's a little bit extreme.
And if the decision was yours, I might think that. However, this time I get to choose, and I don't get to be interrupted in my choice.
Who said it's still your decision? You fought the battle. We followed your orders. Maybe it's Liz's turn to make the decisions.
You can slow this process down as much as you like. One thing or another, we need to deal with these remnants. So fine. If you want to bring this to a grinding halt, Lyra, what do you think we should do?
It's not a grinding halt not to murder prisoners of war.
I'm not murdering anyone. I'm just letting nature take its course.
No declaration of war was made. Simply a skirmish between bandits and raiders. And I can't tell which one we were.
Lyra?
Standing up more straight, Lyra turns to Foe. Well, okay, quartermaster. What would you have us do?
Me? Well, the ones that can't be saved, those ones you go ahead and put off. The rest of them, you tie them up, heal them as best you can, and then you send out one of their emergency beacons to the nearest gift ship. Presumably they'll come by, and then they'll be able to torture them to find the rest of the poachers. Builds better relations. Plus less blood on your hands.
Well, relationships are important. Make it so, but only low-level healing.
As soon as Lyra says that, Faust sets to work on just kind of patching up the wounds of those who can be triaged and the ones who can't. Foe turns to Darlu.
Would you like to do the honors?
Darlu smiles and says, I think I know someone who would. I'm going to try to make an animal handling check to guide the birds towards some of the people who cannot be saved.
At that, Foe shakes his head and walks away.
I got a 12 on animal handling. Hair bird. Come here, bird. 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 Bird.
Hey, Mr. Narana Hammock?
Oi, Lyra.
Got a different job for you. You and I are going to look for parts, see what we can take from this camp.
All right, all right. I'm good at hauling wood. Fucking bird.
They've probably run off.
Darlu was just looking into the trees going, bird, bird, bird. Darlu's going to follow Lyra and start picking up wood and metal and whatever he can to try to find things to patch up the ship.
In the camp, you find several things of value. But to determine whether or not you recognize them, I'm going to have each of you roll me either artificer's tools to recognize ship supplies or survival to recognize what's edible, what they've collected that can be used for other purposes. One of each would be good.
Oh, I get you.
How you doing over there, Darlu?
Not great. A whopping six.
What is food, really?
Anything's food if you boil it long enough.
With just the tool proficiency, I have a 9. If we're adding an ability score, it's slightly higher, but not great.
Darlu, you are used to living in a place that's very, let's say, rustic.
Yes.
Food, as you define it, is typically things that are fresh or cooked or, God forbid, smoked.
They're in a smokehouse among them. How'd these fuckers feed themselves? Did they just subsist on sad, large bird eggs?
So you are less inclined to grab the tins and boxes that are labeled with some unknown numerical combination of things that are supposed to signify what it contains. Turns out rations. but you do manage to grab a fair amount of leftover bird meat, a few miscellaneous objects that you feel like make good meals. It totals about one day's trail rations for the whole crew.
All right.
As for ship supplies, this is where you have a bit of a problem. If this were a Nodite vessel, or if it had been heavily cannibalized into one, you're pretty sure you could put together a decent kind of patchwork. But with this? With a living ship? The hell are you supposed to do with that? But after a little bit of effort, a little bit of thinking, and asking Darlu here and there for magical opinions, you're able to find some things that you think might work for it.
Not a lot of good stuff. Hey, Gunus, anything to report?
I've successfully tied 2 survivors. They are not conscious.
All right.
Gidgel is then going to head over to one of the poachers that Foe is attempting to triage. Do you think this one can be saved?
Gut wound. Maybe. It's a slow death, if not.
So we should just bash his head in.
Nah, that's ridiculous. Gut wound, he might be able to live for another 16 hours, maybe even as long as 2 days, but I don't know. Depends on how soon the gift transport can come.
What do you think, fucker? Would you rather die?
Birds everywhere. It hurts.
I'll take that as a yes.
Do you think if our positions were reversed, they would show us mercy?
No. That's why I'm glad I'm the one who won. We don't define ourselves by what our enemies do. We define ourselves by our own values. And that's what that young man needs to learn, points at Darlow.
I see. So you'll slit the throat of a thug in the streets, but you'll leave a poacher with a beacon so that his friends may find him. What is the difference?
In the first, we lost. Only because our captain made a bad call. If he'd gone on, our reputation would have been trashed. Besides, that man was going to die no matter what. These men, they're more useful alive.
Oh, what use do they have?
If the Gift government gets a hold of these poachers with a note from us, it legitimizes the quest that we had Hortense sign for us. And two, it puts a name out there. The Gift are about to be big players in this sector. Happier we make them, more likely we are to get quests. Plus, I like the Gift, and I like Hortense.
Ah, yes. So the useful get mercy. Now I understand. This is the Noddite way.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Perhaps there is wisdom in it.
There's wisdom in a lot of things if you look hard enough.
In Tabia Sedu, mercy takes the form of not fighting in the first place. But once violence is chosen, you resign your life.
Fair enough. Look, I'm not here to try and wax philosophical. I'm not trying to be the good guy. I'm just trying to make sure we don't get a reputation as bloodthirsty and cruel. Not unless we're trying to live a pirate life.
That is correct. We don't need to spend the night waxing philosophical. But this is another instance in which you have refused orders and stormed away. Perhaps you should convey your rationalities instead of simply just making a big gesture to start.
Why do you think I make that gesture, Kidjo?
Because you don't believe that anybody will listen to you.
No. I don't care whether or not they listen to me. I need to see how our would-be captain handles somebody saying no. Don't mistake anything I say for the next few days as how I feel. My feelings are my own. But I think all of you need to be tested if you want to wear the big hat. And more importantly, I think that young man, he needs somebody to try and push him. And I don't think that's going to be you. And I don't think that's going to be Lita.
Lita! I found their wiping stick, and it looks just like your grandpa's face.
I don't have a grandpa.
Well, I guess you do now.
Do I write wiping stick?
Wiping stick. I think so.
Gidgel is going to make eye contact with Foe as these cries are being let out into the forest. Juveniles.
Hey, if you're done over there, we need to get word back to Party Pal and start heading back.
As you collect your goods, throwing them together in the carts that were lying around, you also manage to find a few basic tools, things like shovels, the aforementioned carts and wagons. You also manage to collect 46 ardor. You are some distance away from Troth and the ship. As such, you are forced to make camp at Hortense's base camp. There, you find Gif emergency beacons. Foe takes the responsibility upon himself to go back to the poacher's camp and set one up.
Oh, if you light these off, they find the right hippopotamus.
Well, looks like it's a bit too far to go in one night. We're going to have to make camp here. Who wants to cook something? I know you all have sensitive tum-tums.
You know, I'd like to give a spin about here and see what there is to cook anyway. I bet Hortense knew a lot more about how to gather nice edibles than those fucking weird floating animals.
I don't want to hear that name anymore.
Which name? Hortense?
Ah!
Sorry, the butt pincher.
Booty pincher.
I know what I said.
You go checking inside of the pantry of Hortense's base camp. And inside, you realize there is nothing in terms of supplies. The only thing she has are what she could scavenge and scrounge from the area. This includes roots that need to be heavily boiled and treated correctly, or otherwise they might be poisonous. Animal flesh that seems like it was probably from an animal that was on its way to dying anyway and is therefore tough and nearly inedible.
A shocking variety of tea bags.
You also managed to find a journal entry. The Landrox's rash cleared two passes ago. I've reseeded the marsh with some of the cultivars that were once struck with boil wilt last season. I've even made bloody topiaries by base camp. This island is more like a home to me than my own, but I've been yearning to set sail for stranger tides. I was promised a dropship with supplies and soldiers to clear out the filthy poachers who settled in last pass, but it had begun to look like I would have to handle them on my own with Grandma's help. Luckily, while poacher hunting, I came upon a lot of hapless maroons. And that's where you stop reading.
Hapless? I ain't never been hapless in my life. I'm full of hap. I'm happy. I see where it comes from. Lita!
What?
Can you eat book?
I mean, yeah.
And Gejo? Do you... What the fuck do you eat?
If that book was made from plant matter, then yes, I can eat it too.
I think it is.
Finally, someone's talking some sense.
There, the two of you can split book while I try to find the tastiest, least sad animal plotting around here.
This place was crawling with animals before. Go eat a snoodle or whatever.
What is a snoodle?
I don't know. I don't really listen when people are talking.
Right, I'll find it and eat it.
You ruminate a little bit on the open journal entry that you read and realize that Hortense really had few choices left to her, but why she chose to steal a boat out from under you and why she chose not to be honest with you is anybody's guess.
It's on our new journal.
I'm so ready for her and Lita's grudge match. I'm so ready for it.
Go ahead and give me a survival check to see if you're able to scrounge up some food and don't have to crack into the already stolen rations.
Can I get better than 6? Not by much. 8.
Is that enough to snoodle?
You manage to pretend and make everybody think that you found the rations that you found at the earlier camp out in the wild and put together a functional meal for the rest of you.
Hey, can you eat canvas? I found lots of canvas.
Oh, sorry, I'm allergic.
Tree bark?
I've eaten tree bark before. I could do it again. It needs to be boiled and mashed and maybe have some other things thrown in there too. Tree bark and mushrooms, really complimentary.
Yes, tree bark, boil it, mash it, stick it in a stew.
God damn it.
Tree bark and mushrooms is fantastic. You do have to eat around the tree bark though.
Yes.
So your dinner is tree bark, books, and schnoodle?
We're really living a life of luxury.
You and Fo arrive back at camp around the same time. And you sit down to a adequate repast.
Picked it all myself.
I believe you.
So, long walk back, right? And a lot of that walk was spent speeding on the back of some sort of large, stompy critter. We could obviously try to follow that road that we took, but it's going to be slow going. Anybody got a faster idea?
Are there still traces of the land rock somewhere here?
As I say, when Hortense doesn't stay in the camp, the animals probably don't hang out that much, but it's pretty big. You know, it was darted recently, so probably took a long nap.
You're welcome to try and roll survival, see if you can find it.
Gigil is going to head to where the Landrox had passed out from all the sleeping agents injected into its blood and try and find if it's doing a little better and maybe if we could use it to haul these supplies through the forest. That is going to be a 25.
Okay. You go to the Landrox's enclosure is the wrong word. Open plot of land.
Crater.
Crater.
The sleeping crater.
Deep paddock.
You do not find it there. You do find several steaming piles. Also, some dried blood that seemed to have pooled at the bottom of its sleeping crater, and a little bit of vomit.
Yeah, tough night.
I say a little bit relative to a Landrox. Relative to you, it is roughly the size of your cousin.
Hey, grab some of those. We should bring Trot back a souvenir.
Exactly my thought. Giving it a good, like, whiff, you know, where, like, two punctures show up on his membrane at the nose. Like, you can see the steam spiral.
Oh, I hate in. That.
like a jet turbine, you know?
It reeks of farms, of manure, of hay, of decaying plant matter, and a little bit of blood.
There's a good chance that there are alchemical properties to this as well.
There's also a good fucking chance that I'm not carrying it.
If anything, it would make good fuel for a fire.
Hate that.
Night comes swiftly, and with it, Foe's watch. He takes the first half, and then wakes Darlu for the second.
Oh, I hate waking up when it's still dark.
Wake and bake, son. He puts a spliff in front of you.
That'll help. Darlu pulls clumsily on it because he's still got the sleepies. Well, that won't make me hop and jump, but at least it'll make the time go by a little faster.
Good work in a fight. Good orders.
Thank you. I am lucky that the vast majority of my teammates are creative and clever.
Well, I'm thinking on the way back to dry dock, we rotate between the three of you. When we land, we go for a vote. Sound good enough to you?
Works for me. I'll tell the rest of them in the morning proper.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're sleeping, do you get weird dreams out here? Or since you spent so much time in it, are you just sort of steeped in it?
I carry the dream everywhere I go. And when I sleep, it comes for me. Sometimes I dream of those curses I've taken. Other times, I dream of what might be. And other times, I just dream of shopping for shoes.
Ah, well, that sounds nice. We never had a proper shoe shop, but I heard of them. It's said back home that some folk that wander the dream are oracles. Not quite prophets, but not prophets. Is there any validity to that?
Sin eaters are a kind of egomancer. We look into the soul, into the mind, and we kind of guide it. Move it in the right direction. And a part of that means knowing the direction they want to go. Or the one that would be good for them. But the dream is a place of thought. And the world is a place of outcomes. Maths. Sciences. You can't really dream of the future. But you might dream of what you may one day become.
And can you focus these dreams? Not to be vague, but can you look for someone in them? Someone else who might be dreaming?
Now, those who are better than I, who can. But it takes work. Or love. And I'm not good at either.
What if I'm good at one of them?
Oh, I know you are, son.
We may have to... I think soon we'll have to figure out how to sharpen that craft. There's something I need looking for.
Well, I'm a whetstone to your hard edge.
It's only hard because I'm waking up. Oh, that kind of hard edge.
Oh, I got to get some kip. Long walk ahead.
Oi. Pleasant dreams, I suppose. I hope you get the shoe one.
Those are the nightmares.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to buy a 13 wide. Nobody makes them.
Darlu is going to start his watch and try not to think about Foe's fucked up feet.
Dawn comes more slowly than the night. A creeping thing. A pink in the distance that rises to a symphony of purples, blues, and reds. You break camp as early as you can muster, as early as your bodies will let you, and begin your long travel. By land rocks, it was a day. By foot, it's four. I'd like each of you to roll me a survival check just to see how well you make it through. If you succeed, this will count towards a day of rest. If not, it won't.
Is there any way on the long walk that I could start leading some like work songs, some like moving songs?
Not if I'm captain. But I think that goes to Gidgel.
You're only allowed to sing if Lida sings next.
Just to make the journey a little easier, just to keep people focused on something that might not be how much their joints and stomachs hurt.
Hit me with that roll. I want to see your performance.
God fucking come on, Max. Get your shit together. 15 total.
Excellent. I will say y'all get advantage on this survival check.
Sick.
He's just singing Destiny's Child.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
That's TLC, goddammit.
I don't know the difference.
That's not. Instead of a 3, that's a natural 20.
Oh.
For a 26.
Damn, 21 total. Is my curse broken? Probably not.
Beautiful.
Instead of a nat 1, that's a 19.
Hey.
Good God. All right.
Big
dirty
advantage.
Deeds.
Right?
Done dirt cheap.
4 days of waking and walking. Sleeping, waking, and walking. When you finally arrive back at your beautiful ship, laden heavy with its camouflage, you find a fully rested Troth.
You can hear a singing as you make your way towards the clearing. And the first sight you see of Troth at first is strange because your ship is even better camouflaged than it was when you left. It is immaculately covered with leaves and bamboo and thick ferns, but dangling upside down with his legs over the gunwale, a heavy sack of dirt in each hand, Troth is doing full body crunches upright while singing to himself. He said I was the only one for her. Just flexing, looking fit as a goddamn fiddle.
Morning, people.
Nothing says welcome home like a good bulging mushroom.
Gidgel is breaking free from the tree line with a small sled filled with 3 spiraling discs of poop.
No longer steaming mounds.
No.
He'll let go with his legs and do a little air flip and land.
We got your share.
Aye, not only that, you've outdone yourself, Troth. Look at it. You made another forest.
By any chance, has the ship become part of the ground? Have you planted our whole ship?
Only the core is nourished with life, and the core chamber teeming with new vegetation and fresh soil. And I myself,
patting himself on the chest,
feel right as rain. You've been gone some time. Not that I mind. This is heaven. But what have you been up to?
We got hippo-duped.
I don't think those are real words.
Well, I'm not allowed to say certain names.
Our new friend betrayed us.
We met a new friend.
It turns out that this is not an undiscovered land. It is simply one stricken from the records to preserve its secrecy.
Oi, full of poachers and hucksters.
Poachers.
We took care of them.
I resent not having my spear there to help you.
I think if you went with us, I don't think you were in a position to go. I think you needed the time.
And I have taken the time to look death in the eyes and realize my own shortcomings. I will not let you down again when the crunch comes.
You know nothing of the crunch. I'm sorry.
I've been crunching all day. And squats.
Oh, you're certainly looking vascular. Swollen. You look good.
Vascular is a fuck of a compliment.
I didn't know mushrooms had veins.
Some do, but nor did I until today.
And you've brought us supplies for mending. Well done. Let us get them aboard, he says, picking up one of the sleds full of shit.
No land craft, no ship.
As you inspect the ship proper, you realize that a lot of the living plant matter that had been attached to the ship has kind of begun to grow into it. You don't imagine it would be difficult to just pull it free, but it's remarkable how much this vessel seems to align itself with the nature in which it resides.
Darlu would usually suggest clipping the barnacles off the ship. However, with what Troth just said about the core flourishing and needing, you know, the life around it, things like that, he's not going to make any effort or gesture to pluck anything off the side of the ship.
Your primary issue with the ship's ability to move was the core, but there was a considerable amount of damage. About 4/10 of your ship had been severely injured by the goblins. You are able, with the random garbage you have collected, to repair it enough to function as normal, but it will still need to be repaired. But as you begin to tend to the ship proper, shoring up some of the holes to make sure that there is no leak of the aether field that holds you aloft, etc., Lita comes to a concerning realization. Wherever you apply wood, nail, etc., you notice that the plants that had begun to grow into the ship simply fall off, as if something about the mechanical process of quote-unquote repair damages the harmony that it has with the life around it.
Come on, work with me here, lady.
Troth is standing over your shoulder watching you work and looking at the plants withering near the repairs.
Unusual, but I suppose this is to be expected. There is a balance between your fabrications and the natural body of the ship, and it may be a difficult line to ride. If we get too far on either side, it may change the ship dramatically.
Troth, I want you to go ahead and roll me something to connect with the core, or to kind of get a vibe from it.
Hell yes. How you feel about survival?
Survival charisma.
Please no. Yeah. Natural 20.
Oh!
God damn!
As the repairs complete, you find the core is pleased at the unity and completion of the ship. But the ship is not. This is a Nidrosili vessel, and for some reason, it does not like being repaired in this manner. The core and the ship are in a slight asynchronicity in this.
It would seem the heart wishes to fly more than it cares what kind of wings it has.
And what wings she has, even with the remaining injury nearly hobbling you before, you are able to lift up into the aether space of this deserted island. And ahead lies the unknown.
All right, sunshine. Time for bed.
Please don't go.
There's nothing to worry about, Sonny. I'll just be gone for a couple of months. Mummy's going to take good care of you. And Big Grandma will be by every few days with those cookies you like.
With the nuts and berries?
Only this time. Might have some of that Nidrosili chocolate, eh? Now Daddy's got a bit more money.
What's chocolate?
Oh, that's a special treat that only good girls get. You'll be a good girl for Daddy, won't you, sweetheart?
Okay.
Okay, sunshine. I love you.
I love you too.
Alright, that's done. Get some off. Everyone's gonna pop by every few days. You know, just check up on things.
Please don't do this, Carter. You got no place on that ship.
I got her. Already been paid half up front.
Ship smuggling ain't the same as moving Ergon out of the mines. Down here, worst you get is sacked in a couple years in the tower. Out there?
Hey, hey now. Look, Sunny's being brave for me, why can't you?
Because she doesn't know what happens in void prisons, Carter.
You're talking like I've already been caught. It's a couple of weeks and I'll be back. We'll apply for our land grant. Then it's off to the islands.
You keep saying that, Carl, but...
But what?
Nothing. Just be careful.
Ain't they always?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, all you cuties. Zach back at it again with the midroll. You may have noticed our midroll's getting shorter, and that's because there's only so many times you can hear the same thing before it gets annoying. Even, and especially, my grating tenor. Or my baritone. Doesn't matter. Point is, we're always trying to make the listening experience as pleasant as possible. If you have any thoughts on how we can do that, hit us up at admin@slapdashstudios. If you've already done that and we haven't responded, it's because we're bad people and worse business professionals. But that email is a good place to reach out to us about pretty much anything. Either that, or you can pop into our Discord. We're pretty much there constantly. Ideally, we'd love to hire a business manager who can help us get Slapdash out there, turn a real profit. But we're nowhere near the hiring people to do our jobs for us level yet, so, you know. But if you want to help change that, please consider donating to the Patreon. And if you're already on the Patreon, please feel free to remind us to post things. See bad professionals from earlier. Side note, if you're aching for something a little spooky, a little sciencey, and a lot body horror-y, check out my new show, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine. It's a fantasy horror loaded with lore from a world of my own design, and I could always use the listens and any 5-star reviews you want to throw up. Anyway, I've yammered enough. Let's get you back to the action.
When it comes to taking hits on the battlefield and not worrying about what comes out of you, Defend's combat diapers have been the trusted name in contained stainless accidents for over a decade. But not all of us are proficient in the reinforced heavy accessories for our downtown barbecue pits. So now, we've developed Abjuraps, arcane spellcasting diapers. If you put the whiz in wizard and don't want your robes to be a drop zone for your magical fallout, these are the perfect barrier. Keep your color sprays and acid splashes on lockdown with all-day Abjuraps, good for up to 3 short rests. Focus on your spellcasting and not your smellcasting, and leave continence to the cartographers with Abjuraps Arcane Spellcasting Diapers from Defense.
You had navigated as best you could to the nearest island that would hold you. It never occurred to you how far off course you had become. You are equidistant from several safe mercantile lanes. There are numerous options for ports. But if you're headed towards the cluster, all roads lead to Limerence. The Neutral Aether Station, NAS, Limerence, is a neutral space dry dock towards the central cluster and is the perfect place for a League vessel to resupply, repair, and to get all of their shopping needs. But that is 6 days travel away. Before you is a grid of Aether Space squares. You are beginning on any square on this side. As we go, you will rotate captainship for whatever happens underneath this square. You can move diagonally if you so choose, but you must move layer by layer by layer.
Zach, would you like to pick who is starting as captain, or should we roll some dice and see who ends up being captain?
I like the idea of Gidgel because he didn't really get that much field time. But
Gidgel got a lot of field time. It's just, you know, everything was perfect.
You certainly hit that field, didn't you?
There were no complications.
I am happy to start with whoever. If you want to roll, it is literally 6 steps.
No, those are fighting words.
Captain Initiative does sound a little fun.
Let's roll Captain Initiative. Let's roll Captain Initiative.
Fuck yeah.
Troth, will you be abstaining from this?
Troth is interested in serving the Corps, but not in leading these people.
Absolutely fair.
What do we actually roll?
Let's treat this like a normal skill challenge. Roll a skill that you feel is appropriate to captaining and sell me on it.
Nice.
If that's the case, I'm definitely leaning charisma persuasion to try to lead with my, you know, presence, my force of being. I get a 21.
Awesome.
Methodical, ages of the wisdom. It is wisdom survival.
Awesome.
I'm using my intimidation, which is minus one.
But using intelligence intimidation?
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Right? That sounds like a way to...
I mean, that would make it plus four.
How dare you dumb shame the rest of the party?
All of those work for me. I'd like you to re-roll there, Max.
God,
get a little excited on yourself.
Oh, do I have to re-roll too?
Everyone has to re-roll.
Oh, thank God, actually. It was a bad roll.
Fuck.
Just initiative, guys. 11 for Gidgel.
15 for Darla.
Ooh.
22 for Lita.
Beautiful. We are going Lita, Darlu, Gidgel.
Wow, you bully us.
We use Iris as the ship.
I love that.
That's a great idea.
So, you are the one who gets to begin. This is row F, column A, or 1, 2, 3, 4.
Iris, autonav F2.
Alrighty. So, just so you know, I wrote down a lot of things here. I will be improvising most of them. I don't know which one is which. I did shuffle the shit out of it.
Oh, I love this.
F2. The aether tide rises. The thin fog lifts and encircles you. I would like you all to roll perception.
17 for Gidgel.
A sweet dosey dough. 22 for Darling.
11.
16 for Troth.
Beautiful. Foe rests in his room, having taken multiple night shifts and being unable to sleep. He must sleep in the day now.
Oh, I forgot about that. Hell yeah.
As you take in the fog, all of you get a sudden sense of dread. There is something in these waters. Your ship is assaulted by an aether shark.
Aether shark.
Do, 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 do.
It's a wet one, kids.
Your perception check is your initiative.
Oh, sick.
Like that.
Aether sharks cannot fly in the void of space, but in the risen fog of the aether, you see as a great white beast cuts down and approaches your ship. It looks hungry. You had had 6 days of relatively restful activity. You were one day away from a full rest. This, unfortunately, interrupts that.
What a dick shark.
But having taken short rests during this time, how is everybody doing?
Gidgel is able to use ki to regain a bit of HP here and there. So after 5 short rests, he's at full HP, but no hit dice.
Hell yes.
Darlu is out of hit dice, but he is 2 HP away from full health and still has some spell slots and no bardic inspiration.
I love it.
Used 3 out of 4 hit dice. I'm not quite full, but... it's not worth it to use the last one.
Fair.
Troth has been on the DL for a while. He's A-okay. He's at full everything.
I think he has had a full rest.
Yeah, absolutely he has.
We need to sync our cycles, though.
So, we will begin, depending on how this shark rolls. A hot Douglas for his fucking initiative.
He's slow rolling us.
We begin with Darlu.
Oh, that's a big fish! Darlu, busting his bow out, is going to run to the bow of the ship. I think I have enough movement to just get up the stairs. From there, he draws his bow back and focuses the energy on the brackish star that he has. As the bow turns a rusty color, he fires an arrow toward the shark with ensnaring strike on it.
Beautiful.
That is a 21 versus shark AC.
That is a hit on this shark. It is not that dexterous.
Hell yeah. And that's going to be a whopping 7 damage to it, and will it make me a strength saving throw?
Absolutely, it will make that with an 18 plus 6.
It's going to pass.
It turns out this huge shark can definitely outstrength.
Yeah. That's my turn.
Beautiful. Moving on, we've got Gidge.
Gidgel is going to take a few steps, get into a battle stance, and position himself between Lita and this aether shark.
Beautiful.
He's going to take the dodge action and defend the captain from this shark that has gotten on board. It is on the deck. That's what I'm seeing.
Technically, it is hovering about 6 feet above the deck.
All Aether sharks have legs.
This is why all Aether craft should be torpedo shaped.
That's what I've been saying.
Torpedo shaped is a good episode.
Boats with roofs.
Captain, how do we deal with this Aether shark? I need orders.
I don't.
Everybody keep range if you've got it. Stay away from the mouth. I'm going to punch it on the nose.
Beautiful.
So I'm keeping range. I don't have anything to throw at it. So I can't follow that order. So as a bonus action, rifts in space appear once more. Magma erupts. The lava cools into hands that are in warding open position, almost like a sumo wrestler playing keep away from the Aether shark.
You mean a gumo wrestler?
Yes. Imagine a 500-pound sumo wrestler playing patty cake.
Cute.
Would you like to do anything else?
That's it.
Okay, cool. That is going to move us to Troth.
Troth is not aware that Lita has been designated captain and ignores any orders that were given. Being as brave as possible, the ether winds pick up and swirl around him as his cloak begins to flap. And as a bonus action, he casts Zephyr Strike. Using his movement, he's going to race up the stairs to be right near the shark. And as he reaches the top of the stairs, as he's running, spores begin to drift off of him, circling around him. And using his action, he manifests the full halo of spores. Shield and spear in hand, ready to face this big, wet, floating shark.
Are you holding a 5-foot distance or getting right up on him?
I'll hold a 5-foot distance. My halo is 10 feet.
Staying away from the mouth. That brings us to Lita.
Prioritize your own safety first. Maybe we can deter it and it'll leave without having to kill it.
Captain, shark's good eating.
You can eat shark, but not books. Small legs. I'm going to use my action to dash and get right in front of this shark, possibly standing on the railing.
You'd be about 10 feet from the shark. Pay attention to the base, not the face.
Base, not the face. Got it. Launching up onto the deck, Lita gets right in front of its face, which is to say the wheel is between Lita and its face. And I end my turn.
Beautiful.
What you trying to do, Lita? Steer clear of the mouth?
At the end of your turn, the shark realizes it's being attacked and doesn't quite like that. So you practically dancing around this wheel, drawing as much attention as possible, makes it think that maybe it's worth the effort of biting through a tin can to get to the delicious, sweet goblin meats within.
That's right. Not them. Me.
And so it strikes out at you.
Come on, Sardini Weenie.
Unfortunately, you were very confident in the idea that it wasn't worth the extra little couple of hit points to spend the hit dice. But this thing has something called Blood Frenzy, which means it gets advantage on anything that isn't at full HP.
Whoops.
Which is convenient because that turns it from what would have been a 13 into a 20.
Sometimes a big brain is a curse.
It was a pleasure following you, bite-sized captain.
It comes at you with 22 piercing damage as it bites into your armor and you can feel it kind of crushing down on you.
As a reaction, can I deal it some spore damage?
Absolutely.
Sweet. I deal it 3 necrotic damage.
Ooh, baby. Yes. So its flesh, slick and almost armor-like, begins to kind of puff up and separate along the side of its face, where funguses cause a swelling of the keratinous scales. The damage is not considerable, but the look is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lita, the damage is considerable and looks nasty.
That makes it the end of the Aether Shark's turn, bringing us back to Darlu at the top.
Gonna shoot a fish. Gonna shoot a fish. Gonna get an 18 versus fish AC.
That's a hit. Shark's skin might look like armor. It ain't.
No. Only 5 damage this time as the arrow glides past the part that's starting to be separated by mushrooms. Just little lines in there.
Hell yeah.
And then I'm going to crouch down behind the railing and try to get any amount of cover just in case this shark has some weird bullshit.
Absolutely reasonable.
My turn's over.
That brings us back to Gidge.
Gidgel, with nothing to throw at an Aether shark, is going to climb up the stairs and try to dissuade this shark and get to the side of it. He's going to take his three-section staff and try and jostle the gills of this thing.
Jostle them gills?
Gill jostler. All right. That's the first attack is going to be... That is a natural 20.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
And that is going to do 19 points of damage.
Jeez, God, that is a gill well jostled.
Turns out, aim for the gills.
You whap it firmly in the gills and you can immediately see a kind of bruising start to form inside. The swelling combines with the additional swelling of the fungus and it creates this kind of almost like growth on the side of its head, like a goiter.
Gross.
Goiter.
The old guillotine.
That brings us...
Oh, I mean, I got bonus actions.
Of course you did. It's a monk.
Yeah.
We are using a key point to make two martial arts attacks.
You gotta.
That's going to be 10 to hit.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it. And that is going to be a 13 to hit.
That's going to hit.
It is going to do 4 points of damage.
Oh, monstrous. Overwhelming.
Shock punch.
The max of one magic missile.
That's right.
Well,
almost.
One shy of the max of one magic missile.
That's right.
Dangerous.
The powerful. Penultimate missile.
The penultimate missile. That brings us now to Troth.
All right. Let me sell you on something fun here. I have a lot of speed right now because of Zephyr Strike. I would like to use my movement to use the springy nature of Gidgel's body to vault onto the back of the shark with a strength animal handling check.
God, I love this.
It's going to take your whole action and your move.
Okay, I was hoping to use the move from my bonus speed to attack when I get on top of it. But if I can't, I understand.
I would say jumping off of your friend onto a shark is a full action. That seems like a lot for a move, but what do y'all think?
I think that without speed buff and given the very small amount of distance he'd have to cover, if he were further away, I might say yes.
Then I'm going to counter it with one thing. It's a contested roll.
I'm assuming I can fail.
What if, I'll offer this to the table. I will spend my reaction to give him a boost.
It's still going to be a contested roll, yeah. But I like the idea. So let's do it.
I just want to have some fun.
Absolutely.
Ooh, baby. That's pretty good for Mr. Troth.
What's the
toast?
That's
a 25.
Whoa. Nasty. You got a 7. He uses a 7 with its dexterity to try and like give you the old shimmy, and it don't do much.
So, I'm not trying to milk the shark here.
Sure, sure.
But is that my movement to get on its back?
That's your movement to get on its back.
Beautiful. Now that I have an advantageous point and I am riding a shark, which is this lifelong dream of Troth's, I'm going to use my bonus action to Hunter's Mark, and I'm going to give it a blowhole with my spear.
I love it.
Hit it in the up gills.
So I am going to discharge my Zephyr Strike as part of the attack, which gives me advantage to hit and deals a little extra damage.
Hit it.
God, Zephyr Strike is good. So good.
Natural 20.
Good. God.
I need to walk you through this, though, because it's going to be fucking bonkers. I wasn't expecting to crit on it. Where's my other DA? So the spear does a D8. That's okay. 2D8. Zephyr Strike does a D8. That's 4D8. My Halo of Spores does a D6. That's 2D6. Hunter's Mark does a D6. That's 2D6.
That's about to blow up.
Wow. Roll it up.
Oh.
Wasn't expecting that. Just God, trying to look cool.
Beautiful.
Jesus.
22, 36 plus strength mod. 41 points of damage.
Good Christ.
Check out the sporting over here.
You jump onto its back and do indeed give it another blowhole, but this not being a mammal, it's not really excited to be breathing out of a new orifice. So immediately it begins freaking the fuck out.
Zach, I have a quick question. Can you imagine a mammal that is excited to breathe out of a new orifice? I'd like to meet them.
Yo. He's got two thumbs and loves new orifices. This guy.
So I'm just going to hang on for dear life.
I do feel like new orifice is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. It's the capital of Louisiana.
Okay. So that's Troth.
I'm sorry.
Lita, you up.
Well, to follow that up,
I'm a punch it.
A round of combat is 6 seconds, as we all know. Lita is going to kneel down, and for 5 seconds, she is going to charge her uppercut before unleashing it into the bottom mouth of this bottom feeder.
Get him right in the undermouth.
He's got a new blowhole. He's got an undermouth. He's got swoley gills.
Are you going to gob Duke in it?
That is a dirty 20 to hit.
That'll do it for the shark.
And I'm going to use Fury of the Small to do additional damage.
Yes. Okay. We call that move the goblin up.
Boo! That is going to be 10 thunder damage.
Hot Douglas.
Hell yeah.
It is looking bad. It is already bloodied and very angry, but also extremely scared.
Go home, shark. You're drunk.
Anything else?
I'm going to use my bonus action using the goblin ability Nimble Escape to disengage.
Okay.
And I'm just going to scoot around to its butt. Everyone keep doing what you're doing.
I really like that. I like that you moved to its butt because its first action upon its turn, realizing that it is immediately surrounded by things that are trying to hurt it, something predators tend not to love too much, it's going to do a tail swipe.
Oh, God!
And because you are specifically moving toward the tail at the time, I'm going to give it advantage.
Do it. Hit me.
So...
got a bloodthirsty shark ass.
It's going to perform an attack on everybody in the immediate circle around it.
Does that include me on top?
No, but you will have to roll a strength check not to be thrown free of the boat at 30 feet.
Buck cool. The shark.
That is a 23 to hit on Lita. There's no advantage on you. Even better. That's going to be a 27 to hit Gidgel. And I need both of you to roll me strength saving throws to not be thrown free of the boat.
Sorry, who?
Everybody.
Everyone but Daralu, basically.
Everybody but Daralu. Daralu followed orders.
Hey. Daralu didn't even know what the orders were and followed them.
That is going to be a total of 20.
Beautiful.
15.
Excellent.
16 for Troth.
Excellent. None of you are thrown free of the boat, by one for some of you. However, you do take the damage. That's going to be 20 damage, bludgeoning to both of you. But you're not thrown off the boat. And that's the real takeaway here. That's the big victory. Anyway, it manages to throw Troth free, who deftly lands on his own feet, and then immediately tries to take off.
May I use my reaction to release the spores that I left in its blowhole?
You absolutely can.
Pack it full of spores. Yeah.
It's like a blunderbuss of mushrooms.
Are the two of you conscious?
No.
Oh, heck no.
Okay, that's great.
Live necrotic damage.
Feisty. It is looking pretty rough. Daralu, would you like to do anything before it leaves your range?
No, I'm totally fine with it flying off because I'm more interested in the two of them surviving.
Beautiful.
I can forego a delicious dinner to make sure that the crew lives.
The shark disappears below the aether waves. The mist swallows it. You are left with two injured crew members and 5 more days of travel.
Iris, transmit and record. Goblog, ether date, 45021.3. I'm beginning to feel out of my depth. I don't know how to care for this ship. Despite everything, she's still plugging along, but everything about her is so organic. I thought I just needed time, but I haven't made any progress, and heck, Stinkhorn can talk to the freaking core! So why do they need me? What good is a shipwright who doesn't know their ship's right from left? And surgeon, don't make me laugh. If that's why I'm here, then Iris could do my whole job by herself. Now it's becoming painfully obvious that I'm redundant. And the others are slow, but they'll figure that out sooner rather than later. But I've been thinking that maybe with this whole captain thing, maybe I could be good at it
you know? Or at least take care of them. Protect them. I'm a freaking armorer. I should be their armor. So why do I feel so worthless? I just need to prove that I'm up to it. That I'll do anything it takes to keep them safe. I mean, I have to, right? Because if not this, then I'm out of chances. Who else would want me? Not anyone back home. So that's the plan. If I can show them that I have value, then maybe they won't think about replacing me the next time we dock. I won't know until the votes are counted, so I'll have to give it my all. Gah! Look at me, recording personal logs like a freaking child. I'm a full-grown goblin, almost 9 years old, an unkillable cosmic vermin! Come on, Bug! You're not done yet! You still have something to contribute. Get useful or get dead. All right. Let's talk through my latest design for deployable GobTech.
Fucking space shark.
Space shark, space shark. Go hard at the start.
I genuinely did not expect y'all to get giant shark right out the gate.
No, that was fucking awesome. I like giant shark.
I put two in, but I just figured, you know, it's a lot of fucking rolls. There's a lot of chances for you to get other stuff.
Sure.
That's not.
Well, if we hit the shark again, it hasn't taken a long rest.
I was going to say, we're going to be ready tomorrow to get big shark again.
I was tempted to throw a javelin at it. I still have Halo Spores up. I might have killed it.
I was thinking about maybe shooting it, but I think ultimately I think Darlu would want to help people out. Rather
than I would healing word and throw a javelin, to be clear.
Fuck yeah.
It would have been cool just to be like, shoot it and then it falls below the thing and you're like, fuck.
Damn it. I can't eat that anyway.
I don't get to do Troth in fights very often, so the fact that I got to pull off one ridiculous bullshit thing.
That explosive crit was cool as hell.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Awesome. I don't know about you guys, but boy howdy do I have some good episode names for
today.
Let's
hear the episode names.
I've got 15.
Jesus Christ. No,
I don't
okay.
have that many. What do we do? Fucking switch jobs here?
Rail Gunnel. I kind of like.
Rail Gunnel is good.
You going first or me?
Let's Angela do
it. I just throw out a few. You two okay. are the
we're just right
are the true down. Keepers of the bullshit we speak.
I don't have very many, but they are Word to Party Pal, Shocking Variety of Tea Bags, It's a Wet One, Kids, Jostle Them Gills, Penultimate Missile, and Milk the Shark.
I've got Gap Tooth Booty Pincher. The Wiping Stick, Shocking Variety of Tea Bags, Hapless Maroons, Steaming Piles, I Hope You Get the Shoe One.
The Shoe One.
Foe's Fucked Up Feet, It's a Wet One, Torpedo Shaped, Face Not Base, Rail the Gunnel, and New Orifice.
There's a lot going on here. A pairing that I particularly like is Jostle Them Gills, A New Orifice. That one got me.
That is a lot of fun.
If we're focusing on shark for name, absolutely.
But I also really love Gap Tooth Booty Pincher.
Gap Tooth Booty Pincher.
I do like Hapless Maroons.
Yeah.
Gap Tooth Booty Pincher, and in the parentheses, Hapless Maroons would also be very good.
Yeah, the whole second half was shark related.
That's true.
But at the same time,
it was dominated by a shark.
It was dominated.
Well, the last three have all been very Hortense-ish.
Yes, that's true.
So we just want to pick. We want to go with island stuff or shark stuff.
Let's go shark shit.
Yeah,
let's get that shark stuff in there. It was fun.
Do we like Jostle Them Gills, A New Orifice?
That or the flip of that. Either both sound good to me.
A New Orifice, Parentheses.
See, that makes it. That makes it sound like an album to me, like an album and a track one.
Send it to the Discord, y'all. That is the one. That is the one to be. Thank you a lot.
So much.
Goodbye.
Real concise outro here.
This was day one of the very fierce grid travel I've got set up here. So we'll see how it plays out. Just today, somebody said that this episode 16 was the most D&D table this game has ever felt. And
which one was
16? That was the Bradley's big nipples.
Big Bradley's big nipples.
Big Bradley's big nipples.
I forgot about that.
So I'm hoping to really top that. I'm really excited about the season having this really good kind of like just D&D fun vibe. It's a lot less work on Law and I. It still feels like a lot more work, but it is a lot less.
But if it's just running a wacky fight, that's great. We know what we're doing.
Beautiful. I love it.
Even if math's hard sometimes.
Does anybody have any housekeeping? Any events coming up or anything you'd like to mention?
I have Music Ale Monday coming up in about 4 hours. a few hours.
But it has proved very successful, and we're going to be doing it once a month, probably.
Hell yeah.
There's the 15th annual Max Hobbs Smoochin' Competition coming up, but no one is invited.
Yeah.
No one outside of this room is invited.
You're the only entrant and the only audience member.
Turns out I win every year.
You know, my podcast, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, is doing great. Please check it out if you have the chance. I don't think there's anything major. We'll introduce ourselves at the end of the chapter. Thank you, Bree Golden, for doing all of our beautiful chapter art. Thank you, Sam Hediger, the editor, for editing this episode. And thank you, the audience, for listening. I'm looking forward to the rest of this grid. And until we see what's on the underside, I wish you luck.